I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. I'm having this significantly torn internal argument with myself about how to take the direction of the rest of the show, because there isn't TV screen? Nope. There isn't anything going on right now that is breaking news. We're in a standby on about, 12 major stories. But other than Nancy Pelosi doing some of her Nancy Pelosi circus tricks, there's really nothing else going on today. So the question is, do you want to go through Friday with a kind of a less political conversation, or do you want to just continue to discuss these same things over and over again? Well, I want to ask Gabe Pfeiffer, because he's here to lighten the mood a little bit. Gabe, thanks for coming.
Yeah, I'm a freaking genius.
Okay, so you're a rocket scientist.
Brilliant!
Knowledge is power.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Gabe, thanks for coming back on with us today. I mean, man, does this news cycle and this 25 days out of this election wear on you a bit?
It's 25 days. Oh, my gosh. That, 25 days in 2020 time is going to feel like 25 years, I swear, because everything just seems to take forever. And I was thinking about this recently. I was trying to think back to things that happened earlier this year, and it feels like forever ago. It's like, do you guys remember 15 days to flatten the curve?
Do you remember? The idea that we were going to keep the hospital beds available and the ventilators not overrun. And then we found out since then that the ventilators, that was actually killing people. The quickness that we put people on ventilators at the beginning of this actually was incredibly wrong. That was the wrong approach to take it. And it was causing more problems than it was helping. I mean, we've learned so much in this amount of time, but now we're supposed to eradicate coronavirus. I did want to say, I haven't talked about this quite yet, from the Chicago Tribune. I'm reading this from today, just like 10 minutes ago. After more than a month under tighter restrictions aimed at slowing the spread of COVID-19, Gabe, the Metro East region will return to phase 4 rules that our dear leader will now allow us indoor dining and bar service, maybe even with bar stools and gatherings of up to 50 people. According to state officials Friday, the region outside of St. Louis was the first in Illinois to get sent to their room and see a scaled back reopening in August after it passed a state set threshold of an 8% positivity rate for 3 consecutive days. I editorialized just a bit on that, but
just a little.
Congratulations. How does it feel to now just be on probation, Region 4? Congratulations.
Double secret probation.
It's ridiculous. So here's a question. You guys want to talk about politics? Or you want to talk about something else? Because I have something else ready if you're ready to roll.
Let's do something else. Let's do it.
Let's go.
Do you guys ever read Miss Manners?
No.
No.
I have not.
No.
Well, I adore Miss Manners. I love manners. My grandmother came to the United States after marrying my grandfather. I think they knew each other for a few months. My grandfather fought in World War II, was stationed in Australia in the same building as General MacArthur. And my grandmother was working, was serving Australia during the war. And they met and they fell in love and they got married. And then she got on a ship and came back to none other than St. Louis, Missouri, and lived here with her mother-in-law for a year before he even came back from the war. Thank God he did. But she, being Australian, there was a lot of tea time with her, and there was proper grammar that needed to be spoken, and it was corrected if it wasn't. If I wanted, like, a cookie, I would have to say, first of all, she would have said, don't say like, which I just did, and I thought of that when I said that. If I wanted a cookie, I would have to address her. I would have to say, Grandma, may I please have a cookie? Not, I want a cookie. That would have not gotten me any cookies. It had to address the person. I couldn't say, can I have a cookie? Because, of course, she would say, well, of course you can. Mm-hmm. You have to say, may I please, with the politeness there, have a cookie. And then she would say, yes, you may. And I would say, yes. Mm-hmm. And then I would say, thank you, Grandma. Like, that was beat into me, not physically, by my Australian grandmother. And I'm grateful for that. I think that there is a lot of that is being missed right now, especially because a lot of the conversation we have is through technology, so we speak to each other a lot less. But anyway, the idea of manners and the proper way to do things and the proper way to lay out your silverware and the proper way to use a spoon, it's not a shovel, you eat your soup from the side of the spoon. I mean, these are all things that I was taught at a very young age that most people don't know, so of course I'm aware of them and other people aren't, and I feel as though I've been trapped because then I notice when other people don't do it. So I've enjoyed reading Miss Manners, and I think this is a funny one that we can discuss together here. It says, Dear Miss Manners, this is from October 7th in the Washington Post. My husband and I often enjoy margaritas on the rocks with salt on the glass rim. He has a habit of first licking the salt off the rim and then taking a swig. I think this habit is rude, but he thinks it's no problem. I simply take a drink normally, enjoying the salt while drinking, not licking. Is his habit socially acceptable, as he claims, in the context of margarita drinking? So I want to go to Ryan. Ryan, what should husband here do? Is he right or is he wrong?
Let me ask you another question. Are they inside their own house or are they out somewhere?
I don't know that it matters.
Because if they're in the house, I don't think it's a big deal. If you're anywhere other than just with your spouse, I would say, yeah, that's inappropriate.
Okay, so he's wrong.
Yes.
Katie?
He is wrong. That is not appropriate at all. And anyone that does that should be looked at in a very funny way. And I have plenty of friends that do that because they love margaritas. I'm like, where's the glass bin?
You've noticed it?
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Do you say anything?
No, I just kind of let it go. Because that is that me counteracting? Am I being rude by saying
something?
That's
being rude to somebody who's being rude?
Yes. So he's wrong.
Where is the glass bin, though? Like, yeah. Is that what you're concerned about? Is that the glass might be dirty?
The glass might be dirty. Well, that's also a thought. It's gross in itself, but where has the glass been? That's gross.
Okay.
Gabe, what do you think?
Oh, yeah. You're not supposed to be licking anything.
Out in public. No.
What about a popsicle, Gabe?
I don't need to see your tongue. Nope. Put it in your mouth.
I think it's funny to think about that because I don't know how many people right now are thinking about the person who did that. And if you don't know anybody who does that because you've never noticed it, then it's probably you that does it. You know
it's
what I'm
you.
Saying? If it's never occurred to you that for your salt might not be appropriate.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I never knew how many things I did wrong until I, A, got married, and B, joined the show and met Annie Fry.
Spent a lot of time around women. Yeah. We don't talk about it to you. We talk about it.
Oh, but I know that you talk about it behind my back, and I can see you wince sometimes when I do something.
I don't talk about it behind your back.
No.
I don't talk about you behind your back.
I thought just said that you talk about it behind my back.
I think she's
I was joking until
forward.
You thought that I did.
Oh.
If I'm going to talk about it, I'm going to tell you so you can stop. I'm not.
No, you're just going to physically recoil. That's how I know.
Way better than the words I'm thinking about.
Yeah, that's true.
Gabe, what's your pet peeve? Like, what's your politeness, manners, pet peeve?
Oh man, oh gosh, I don't know. Well, see, part of the problem is, you know, getting back to that whole thing about us doing a lot of our communications online. I've got a lot of online pet peeves. You know, you know, there's a certain level of usage of emojis I'm comfortable with, but at some point it's like, okay, you're trying to communicate with me in the modern equivalent of hieroglyphics, and I don't like it. you know, there's
Do men use emojis?
There's putting LOL after everything. Oops. You know what I mean? as though you're...
Gabe's just getting like, all his feelings out about texting with Katie right now.
That's me.
You're not actually laughing. You're not actually laughing at this. It's not even humorous. You're just putting that to try and diffuse the stupidity you just out online.
You know my story
here,
about texting Katie? I text Katie during the show pretty much all day, and she'll write back something LOL, and I'm like, no, you didn't. I'm watching
it's
you.
Not
I see your face.
It's not supposed to be literal. It's not
yes,
supposed
it
to
is.
Be... No, it's
otherwise,
not.
Otherwise, you say ha-ha. Everybody knows that ha-ha no. is like, I find that moderately amusing.
It's
LOL means I laughed out loud.
No, you centennials don't get it.
I will even give a little leeway to people who are just using it to say I found this humorous, and maybe you're laughing internally, maybe it's just sort of. But the thing is, some people use it as the as a way to diffuse the fact that they're really doing badly in a discussion. You know, you know, and that bothers me too.
Ryan,
don't get me started
writes...
on the typos.
Ryan, you're a funny man. If somebody writes LOL, don't you want to know that it was real and not a lie, Katie?
Yes, I absolutely
okay, now let me call
it.
Everybody out in this circle
do.
Right quick.
LOL.
Y'all have never wrote LOL and not actually laughed out loud.
I've
Katie,
changed it since I criticized you.
Uh-huh. Is no. I have never, I am literally telling you
pointing
I laughed out loud if I type LOL.
It really shocks me that
oh,
Ryan
no,
is
I,
literal.
I fake the LOLs. All.
Yeah, sure.
I'm faking
but
LOLs.
But that's because I don't laugh out loud at a lot of things. I do find things humorous.
But that's
you know,
the point.
And I was like, you know, you'll get a little. That was funny.
Good.
Out of
more
me.
Like an exhale.
Then, LOL. That means I've really
generous.
Earned it.
Give you the.
Yeah.
I'll say after we talked about this the last time and I called Katie out because she like the time I called her out the last time she wrote LOL she didn't even like smile or smirk there was she looked like she hated everything and she's like LOL I'm like, oh, so is that how this is I see how you speak I see how you communicate
sometimes it's an ironic LOL
now I'm getting monitored
but isn't there a difference like if you're gonna spell LOL out and you're gonna capitalize all of it like doesn't that imply like
that takes effort.
Yes.
Genuine.
That's a hearty laugh right there.
Yes.
Or it better be.
Here's the problem, though, with the whole LOL thing is specifically to Katie. Is that then when Katie says something
Katie.
Like, hey, really good segment, you think, wait a minute now. Was she that lying. An LOL? Or was that an LOL?
You never
yeah, this, there you go. Is it a lowercase LOL
everybody.
Or an uppercase LOL?
I'm yes. so hard to
Those
read.
Are different.
All right. Let's take a quick break.
Or is it a raffle?
Rolling on the floor laughing. Those all used to mean something in the late 90s and the early 2000s, didn't they? Let's take a quick break. We'll get an update on the latest in the news. We have from, let's see here, Ohio's most populous county sees nearly 50,000 voters get incorrect absentee ballots. That seems like a problem.
Oh,
do we want to talk about manners some more? Or do we want to talk
county?
About this depravity? Ohio's most populous county sees nearly 50,000 voters get incorrect absentee ballots. You've got to be kidding me. Brandon suggests on our Annie Fry YouTube page that maybe we should next debate the Oxford comma, and I am for it. Use it. We'll be back in a minute.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
This is a disgrace what's going on. So now I find out the guy that's doing it from C-SPAN is a never-Trumper, but I don't mind that. Look at the people I've had in the past, and I've always won the debates. I had Martha Raddatz. Her hatred was so incredible, I couldn't believe it, but I beat Hillary in that debate easily. So, you know, it's one of, I don't mind that. It's not even that. But I'm not going to sit behind a computer and have somebody feed him answers because he has no idea because he won't be president for 3 months before the... wonderful Kamala takes over.
3 months? Wow. I guess maybe he got a tip on the Nancy Pelosi plan to figure out how's this 25th Amendment thing work? Joe Biden's about to get elected president. We need to figure this out first. Give me a break. Gabe, what do you think about Donald Trump opting out of the virtual debate? I was hearing some discussion today that he may not have been appropriately briefed on what a virtual debate would look like. I think it was on Kilmeade's show that maybe it was either Kilmeade's show or on Fox at the time, because I was in the car. I don't remember which one I was listening to, saying that there would be press that would be present in both locations and there would be other people to make sure that there were no teleprompters or cheating and stuff like that. And that that may not have been relayed to either the campaigns or from the campaigns to the president. You think that the president is missing out on an opportunity if he doesn't show up, even if it's a virtual debate, or should he do what he's doing and say, nope, not doing it?
I think taking a stand is a perfectly legitimate response to this. It doesn't sound like he was briefed on it. And really, what is the point of having a virtual debate when you're having two groups of people? I mean, if there's going to be a group of people over here and a group of people over there, what's the point of separating those two groups? You know, just having them together in a larger venue. So it seems like a silly
Trump
idea to begin
COVID.
With.
I could see why Joe Biden would be for it, but maybe not all the people who have to be in Trump's room.
Well, yeah, I mean, maybe the press who have to be, you know, would be in the Trump room would have all, I don't know, have had it or something. I don't know. How do you do that? How do you deal with that?
Kevin says on YouTube, that makes it fair. Press in the location.
they'll hold them accountable.
What press are we talking about here? And who makes you feel like that's that's going to be a good, fair outcome? So do you think he should not do that, Gabe? Do you think he should take the stand, or do you think that he should figure out a way to make it happen?
I wouldn't do it. Just because, you know, there are enough shenanigans that go on in the debate in terms of, you know, being anti the Republican Party right now, just in the standard format, rather than, you know, it's, what new and nefarious ways can they come up with to make things horrible for the president in a virtual? And I'm not taking that chance.
What about you, Ryan? Do you think that he's missing out on an opportunity?
Yeah, I'll say the exact opposite from Gabe, actually. I'll say that not only that he should do it, but that he will do it, because you see this is his tactic over and over and over. He's specifically done with this with debates, but he does it with everything where he'll say, okay, if you're not willing to negotiate or at least talk in the direction that I think we should be going here, I'm going to remove myself completely from the discussion. He just did it with the stimulus bill, and now it looks like that's back on. And so that's his negotiation style. I do think there will be a debate, because I think that what he's doing here is saying we need to make sure that all of these boxes are checked, which I think he's smart for doing. And I think that they will check those boxes and that there will be a debate.
Katie?
Yeah, I think he should do it. I think it would be a missed opportunity if we don't see another debate. But I could see why Trump also would be like, that is not my thing. Like, optically, I could never see Trump co-signing, like, sure, let's do it. That's not his realm. He likes to be face-to-face with people. He likes to feed off of their energy. He likes to feed off the moderator's energy and the crowd's energy. You know, whenever he was like, I will not do a virtual debate, I'm like, yeah, that sounds like Trump. And plus, it gets like a little bit chaotic. If you've been watching for the last umpteen months, people trying to do shows virtually and newscasts virtually, it can be so chaotic, especially like when you're trying to talk and someone's interrupting and people are talking over each other. Mm-hmm. I just don't think it would go as smoothly as maybe the people that suggested it to happen would think. But I mean, an opportunity is an opportunity, right? I want to see another debate.
Kevin says on our Facebook chat, Trump could hold his own town hall. Donna says, no more debates. We know what he stands for. And then Chris says he should just go to Joe's basement and work it out. I don't think that's going to happen. and then Alan also says, skip the debate, just do the rallies and maybe a town hall. I mean, I think that he needs to figure out a way to be in front of the people. And I think he needs to figure out a way to present his record to the American people and undo the problem that happened from the first debate. And I really do think that of everything that we consumed in the first debate with both Biden and Trump, I think that what we heard out of Biden was expected. I think what we heard out of Trump is expected. And I think that they expected Chris Wallace to do a better job. And that Chris Wallace's performance was really the factor that caused it to be so hard to watch. It was so poorly managed. And I would say, in addition to his performance, the way he comes into that debate with all the baggage that he carries onto that debate stage, it kind of presets the entire experience to go that way. Like, it's combative. You know what it's like to get two coworkers that you know, like, okay, maybe there's a presentation being made, or maybe it's a family affair, and you've got some sort of family event that needs to be put together, and you're going to have to convene two groups of people who, when they get together, sometimes it's thunder and lightning, and you know that it's coming, and you brace yourself. And in the essence of bracing yourself for that to happen, you almost create the fireworks before they even actually naturally occur. Chris Wallace, come on, give me a break, you know? And I was not speaking that way about Chris Wallace before the debate, but I am convinced that I should have been.
Yeah, afterward, you said this already, Annie, but afterward, all these interviews that Chris Wallace is doing on every network, he is totally pinning the disaster that was that debate on Trump. Like, 100% not taking any credit for it. Yeah. You can tell he's very salty. It's like, okay, dude, you had a part that you were playing too.
From our YouTube page here, Brandon says, Trump needs another debate to come off better than the first and actually let Biden say his dumb things. I completely agree. In fact, I think the virtual town hall would actually benefit that fact more.
Gabe, do you have a prediction of what's going to happen next? Like, do you have a gut feeling about November?
My gut, and I might have said this before on something or other, probably on Twitter, is that we're going to see the silent majority speak. And I think there are a lot more. I get the feeling, at least, that there's kind of this rumbling underneath of a lot of people who've been, awakened to the shenanigans by, the Trump opponents and have witnessed, what the positive things that a Trump presidency can bring. And they're just going to quietly go into the booth and vote. And we're going to see some big numbers on November 3rd, so much so that, whatever mail-in ballots may not be yet counted, it would be, a Hail Mary to suspect that, Biden might have this big come from behind win, in the days and weeks to follow. So I just get that feeling. Something that bolstered it recently actually was something else I saw on Twitter was a poll that said 56% answered the question that they were better off from 4 years ago. First of all, that number is insane. Every previous president has been below 50%. I mean, you've got high 40s, but no president in the last six or something like that, or five, has actually cracked 50%. And that's now. This is post-COVID. This is post-lockdown, post-economic apocalypse. And somehow 56% of those respondents said that they were better off than 4 years ago. That is huge. That may pan out in November.
I think that is a good point. And people do. This is a very personal decision. And if you are looking at a Joe Biden campaign and everything that they're presenting is the converse of what Trump has done, and you're thinking, I'm better off now, it's not only you're better off than 4 years ago. Biden was in charge 4 years ago. I mean, number two ish or whatever Obama considered him to be. But it was an Obama-Biden policy that was in place that Donald Trump has improved upon. And I don't think that anybody looks at Donald Trump's ability to manage the economy before COVID. Like, I could wring people's necks when they're like, he could go, if he loses, he could go out of his presidency with the most job loss in the history of presidencies. It's COVID. Everybody knows it's COVID. Like, nobody just tuned in today and was like, oh, wow, that's an enormous amount of job losses. How did that happen? Trump sucks. Like, that's not happening. Everybody knows what's going on right now. And if anybody is looking at who wants to open this country back up and see some production start again, Biden wants a mask mandate and he would shut everything back down again. So, no. Gosh, can we please be smart enough? Like, do you guys pray about the country? Like, I mean,
yes.
I have been more actively praying, because I get anxiety about this to the point where I'm like, I can't, like, I get in my head about things and I try to solve it. I can't solve this. Mm-hmm. I can only vote once. I do live in Illinois. I've never tried to vote more than once, but I've heard of it.
You could.
I won't, but I will advocate.
You know, you won't, but you could.
I will advocate for people to make smart decisions with their vote and just show up. But, like, I have to know in my prayers that I'm really asking for peace and that whole thy will be done thing. And it's like, I got to let that go. Like, I have to give that over and then let it go and trust that whatever happens is it's going to be okay. You know, one way or the other, because I do believe if Trump wins again, it's not going to be, you know, rainbows and puppies and sunshine after he wins. This has been 4 incredibly stressful years for the country. And in the midst of that, the Trump administration, even up against that, has accomplished so incredibly much. So to think that if my guy wins, that it's going to be just this huge sigh of relief. There's going to be a sigh of relief, but it's not going to be easy going forward. And if Biden wins, sure. I'm very concerned for the well-being of the country. And I say that as somebody who I try not to be bombastic and, I'm not a shock jock when it comes to talking about politics on the air. It's a very serious thing. So like my prayer is always just like, can you please A, give me peace and B, give this country peace and just take care of us. And you know, like I've said this before, I didn't ask me anything on Twitter on my way to Tennessee because I was side seat driving and my husband was about to throw me out of the vehicle. So I needed to distract myself. And somebody asked me about what my feelings were towards if Joe Biden were to win this election. And my honest response that I am telling myself this on a daily basis just so that I can remind myself, I'm telling you, but when I'm telling you, I'm really reminding myself. If the stars were made to worship, so will I. If God is in charge of this whole thing and he created the stars in the universe to worship him, I think he's got this too. And I need to be reminded of that every single chance I get and pray, pray, pray. And if praying's not your thing, I understand that. But when people ask me how I cope with it, that's how I get through. And it's the only way that I can get through. It's the only way I can ever get to sleep. Man, Twitter is a hell site. I can't handle this thing. I need to put it away. My husband will be sleeping over there and he'll be like, put Twitter away. And I'm like, but I'm learning things. And I'm also wanting to deny everything that I've ever known.
He just says it in his sleep.
Yeah. Put he Twitter rolls over. Away. He's put Twitter away. Make it stop. he can feel my anxious vibes. All right. Quick break. When we come back, let's do some real or fake news. We're going to make some bold statements and fight about whether or not we agree. Sounds like fun, doesn't it? We'll be back in just a minute.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Did you guys see that what's his name? I keep wanting to say Vin Scully. That's not correct. Mr. Scully. Steve Scully? Mm-hmm. That was going to be moderating said debate. He like tweeted at Scaramucci something about Trump and now he's like, but I got hacked. Nobody believes that. I mean, maybe he did. And if you did, it's really unfortunate because nobody's going to believe it.
I saw that same thing. I couldn't believe when I heard, oh, well, he got hacked.
He also has really? Like 2 separate other times, according to some other tweets that have been screenshot on here, where he's like, oh, I'm sorry for those last tweets. I got hacked. It's like, how many times do you get to play this card? And how stupid do you think that we actually are?
And a hacker
it's
gets
so
on and just tweets Anthony Scaramucci.
So let's get to it. Real or fake news, KDT it up here, and we'll get going. Ryan, you want to go first?
Yeah, I do. The Amy Coney Barrett hearings, which start on Monday, here's my real or fake, will be nothing near the Kavanaugh hearings. They will not be nearly as bad.
Gabe, what do you think?
Well, gosh,
Katie,
that's...
Katie, what do you think?
Gabe's, I don't know.
I think that's real news. I think that's real news. I don't know when those allegations, like how close those allegations came for Brett Kavanaugh, like in proximity to his hearing. But there's nothing that popped up about Amy Coney Barrett, and she seems like a very sensible yeah, woman. Well. And I think it will probably go as smoothly as it can.
Gabe?
Back to me finally. I'm not sure. And here's my one caveat. I would normally say, okay, real news. But my one caveat is I'm not sure they can help themselves from doing these things, because there are some things that are clearly self-destructive that they just couldn't help but trip over themselves to get to doing. So I don't know.
I'm just really excited to see George Stephanopoulos talk about Dick Durbin mansplaining to Amy Coney Barrett when they go through this whole thing. I'm sure that there will be a lot of criticism about disrespect towards women. Bull crap! That's not going to happen, because conservative women don't count in the world that we live in right now. And conservative women know that, and we still don't care, because we're still not going to be bullied into being told what women's rights are and all that stuff. So Ryan, you set a pretty high bar, because the Kavanaugh thing is out of this world. I don't think it's going to be as bad as that, because I don't think that people can afford the flub right before the election. But I do still think it's going to be unfortunate for the country to watch.
Well, I will take it this step further and say that I do believe they will lay off of her faith. Because we're right before the election, they don't want to lose votes. And B, because they got such pushback from Dianne Feinstein's comments last time.
I haven't asked me anything. Or no, not an ask me anything. A real or fake news here. Okay. Real or fake, folks. It's time to stop explaining how to leave a voicemail. We get it. We know how to do it. You don't need to explain that I need to wait for the friggin' beep. I got this down. It's 2020. Fight me.
Oh, gosh, no. That's absolutely real news.
Is it the worst that's thing real. To want to lead somebody a voice? Want to leave a message where you're like, hey, it's Annie. I need you to call me back ASAP. I can't find my kid. And they're like, thank you for calling Katie Fitzpatrick. If you would please wait for the tone, you can leave a message.
Yes.
And I will get back to you as soon as I can. I know! That's what I'm waiting for. I don't need to know to wait for the beep. Everybody knows.
This is worse. I used to make people sit through the entire Family Feud theme song to leave me a message.
I will do it. I bet you didn't get as many messages as people wanted to leave you. Here's the other thing I will add to that. Tell people in your voice, like, everybody needs to redo their message now, because most of us are all doing this. We need to fix it. Make it short and sweet. You can say, leave a message after the beep and then be done. Or tell people if they can text you. Give people the permission to be like, hey, if you need something right away, send me a text. Otherwise, I'll get back to you as soon as they can. Done. Over. Yeah. Leave a message. Get in. Get out. Done. Beep. Go.
Because most people want a text anyway.
We need to update our manners book.
Yeah.
Maybe we should all record a voice message for people to use, and then they can use our voices, and we could all do a little bit of a different vibe.
Yeah, you should record like a one with a blank in it. Hey, this is Annie Fry, and you've just called Ryan. And we could fill in the gap.
We'll just go through and put all of the names in there. Ryan, you can put that. Well, I'll do the blank one, and then you can just go through all of the names and plug them in one at a time.
Yeah, it's like one of those gift shop kiosks. You just keep spinning until you find your name, and Annie will do it for you.
My name was never.
I like it.
Katie, you got one?
Sure. Women feel more pressure to follow the societal timeline, aka I need to have a job at a certain age, I need to get married at a certain age, I need to have my house by a certain age, more than men do.
I think that might be fake.
Really? How so?
Well, I think the things that you included in there might be different. I think that men tend to lean, like traditionally, men lean towards job and house, and women lead towards husband and children. And women have a biological clock ticking, so there's a little bit on us that men may not, you know, you can father children way into your life, but some women don't want to be having kids when they're 40.
Okay.
But I do think that, I don't know that women feel that more than men. I don't know.
I'm going to agree with Annie and say that the specifics of what you said are real news, but men do feel pressure, I think specifically with accomplishments. As we get older and like, well, I'm almost 30. I want to be able to make sure that I did this. And even if it's not buying a house, for some men that would be, you know, getting a nice car or a house or a pool or something. But I think with a lot of men, it's more about what have I achieved by certain ages.
Gabe?
Yeah.
Do women feel it more than men?
I think that might be real news, just because I think there's been, you know, since basically the pill, there's been an intersection of the family clock and the career clock, which didn't used to be that big of a factor. So now you've got these two and sometimes competing interests that are going. So maybe you are feeling pressure, maybe in a different way, probably more, I would say, than a man.
I would say
nobody's asking me if I, you know, when the grandkids are coming, kind of thing.
Are men or women going to be more in their head about things? I think women, generally speaking. But I do definitely feel like men, from what I'm gathering, I've never had that personal experience myself, but I do think that men definitely feel that pressure. Gabe, you got a real or fake?
Sure. Not all babies are cute.
Oh, we went there today. Oh. That's what we're doing today.
I ain't playing.
Wow.
I ain't playing.
Well, look, how long are you wanting to get actually, this off your chest,
what,
Gabe?
What's funny is...
Yeah.
And whose baby are you talking about? Let's just go all in here.
Yeah, what's
give
specific?
Us names.
I name a name. I'm protecting names of the innocent. But no, my I actually babies. Get this opinion from my mom, basically. She... But, you know, she's the most polite about it. She, you know, it was like, oh, hey, you know, here's our baby. It's like, hey, there's a baby.
There's the baby. Katie, did you send me that video of people who had a really, like, unattractive baby and they were showing their moms?
Yes.
But it was, like, not a real baby or something? Explain that real quick.
So there was this trend going on for a while, and it was basically they were pulling not cute babies' pictures from the internet. And some were tweaked, you know, some of it
or
was
baby,
tweaked.
Yeah. Yeah. Babies that were making goofy faces.
Yeah.
Make a weird face.
And so the moms would prank or the kids would prank someone in their family and say, oh, my friend just had this baby and we're FaceTiming right now. Would you like to see the baby too? You know, their mom or their brother or their cousin. And so they show the FaceTime of this ugly baby and the person that they're showing it to would have to be like,
it's trying so hard to lie about how cute the baby
was.
Yeah,
they're like, yeah, that's a really, wow, that's an ugly baby. And then the person that was FaceTiming was like, oh my God, the mic is on. They can hear what you're saying about the baby.
Ryan, are all babies cute?
Yeah, I'm going to say that's fake news. All babies are cute.
You want to hit your last real or fake real quick?
Sure. I will say the phrase, your truth, is the most annoying phrase in the English language right now.
Real news.
The most annoying
That's
sound
bad.
In the world.
But real news.
It's a lie. You don't get your own truth. According to what Mike Pence, he said, you're entitled to your own opinion, but not your own facts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Your truth your truth is something that is peddled for people to be able to make whatever they want out of anything. Katie, you know anyone who's talking about your truth?
Oh, plenty. Plenty of people talking about your truth. And I say that's fake news, Ryan, only because it is one of the most annoying phrases, but it is
that's
not
a really,
deep.
Really high bar to set yes. to clear.
Yes. Work.
Gabe, what's your truth?
Oh, yeah.
Gabe's truth is that babies
that is
are ugly.
I
hate babies.
And that baby.
I did
ugly.
Not see that coming.
I love
Man.
It.
Yeah.
Stay away from my
babies. I like to surprise you guys every once in a while.
Yeah, you did. Well done. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with more discussion as we turn this Friday into an afternoon here. We are grateful that you're with us. Please join us on our Facebook Live. Go to Annie Fry Show on Facebook. You can join us there and comment along. Also, the Annie Fry YouTube page. Subscribe there because at 2:25, we're going to do an Ask Me Anything segment, and you can ask your questions to myself, to Gabe, to Ryan, to Katie, to the whole room. We'll have that discussion in the 2 o'clock hour. We'll be right back.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.